Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Welcome to the show tonight. I'm really excited to see where this goes. But first I wanted to talk just a minute about innocence, the notion of innocence. It's curious how such a simple little thing can be something that we get hung up on. And the reason I was curious about innocence is the flip side of that, shame and guilt. If you look at the span of human consciousness, shame and guilt are right at the edge of the cliff where you're looking over your toes and you see the chasm below, like maybe the roadrunner and the coyote in the cartoons. Shame and guilt will take you all the way to death, because shame is the tribe outcasting you and guilt is you outcasting you to the point of the idea that you don't deserve life itself. And so innocence is what sets you free from that. And innocence is a status that you give yourself. Nobody else can give it to you. You can give somebody permission to take it away, but you can always reclaim it in any moment, and you don't need permission for that to happen. When I talk about innocence, nobody has ever violated a karmic law. Well, wait, whoa, time out. There's all these yahoos doing all these terrible things on the planet, atrocities that are just human tragedies. Well, that's right. They are doing that. And those choices to do that were there from day one, because the universe has no bias of its own. There's no template that says you have to behave one way or another. We're given fierce freedom on this planet to dream up whatever the hell we want and bring it about. And consciousness will accommodate whatever the hell we come up with. But the power comes from understanding the nature of you. Yes, you. That's all it takes is you, because you are innocent in the eyes of the universe, and you are the creator. So what the hell is it going to be? You're creating 24/7 if you're cognitive of it or not. But when you do become cognitive, you can give yourself a hell of a lot of power. I like the analogy of a movie theater. In the projector, there's a light bulb that's pure white light. And that's the energy that makes the picture possible. But it's pure white. It has no definition of its own. That's what I mean by no template. And then what film you put in the gate decides what image actually lands on the screen. And that film is your projection energetically into the universe. So when you give yourself permission to show up, you can dream, you can imagine, you can inspire any film you want to put in the gate, and the universe will gladly oblige it. And so to understand the role that you play, no other human being has had any advantage over you. We're all made from the same fabric, but it's understanding these fundamental nature of how our own individual, seemingly individual human consciousness creates is a creative, active process that's on 24/7. And that's why I'm really excited about the show tonight, because our guest, Jean Adrian, is an author of a book called Power Tools. And I like that. She's also a healer, a teacher, and creator of quantum change. I like that permission, that boldness that says, this is it. I want you to join me to welcoming Jean on the show. How are you doing, Jean?
I am fantastic, Les, and thank you so much for inviting me to be your guest tonight.
So when you're writing your book, what made you call it Power Tools?
You know, I was inspired because I had just bought a power tool. And I took it out of the box, and I opened up the owner's manual. And this tool was manufactured not in the United States. And a company was manufactured in the Orient somewhere. And I couldn't figure out how to work it. And so because I'm a woman, I actually believe in reading manuals. I think most men don't. You know, they just think they can figure it out by themselves. And didn't mean for that to sound like a gender bias slam, but kind of did, didn't it? I took the manual out. And this particular manual was like maybe plan N because it didn't translate from Chinese to English.
Oh, right.
So, and it had some pictures that were probably more helpful than the words, but really didn't explain what I needed to do to make the darn thing work. And so I decided that was a metaphor for life. And that's really what got me started, because I realized that we come in as children, we're born into this reality, and we don't have an owner's manual attached on a little nylon tag around our neck.
Right, yes.
And so what happens is we're born into a family that I believe we choose so that we can master the lessons that we want to master in a particular incarnation. But at any rate, we're born to a family of two completely inept parents that are looking at this wiggly, screamy thing going, what do we do now?
Right.
You know, and they do the best they can. We do the best we can. As parents. But, you know, the owner's manuals that are out there, you know, like for in my genre, it was Dr. Spock. And, you know, and then and a lot of the child-rearing psychology has come a long way since then. However, none of them tells the parents what they really need to know. And I had figured out a lot of that through my work, through my InterSpeak work. People come to me and they're dealing with blocks in their life, and some percentage of those go back to things that happened when they were very, very small children. Some of these traumas occurred even before the child was verbal. And, you know, rather than calling that early parental abuse, I call it betrayal. Because
right.
What happens is you know, we are, as you said, innocent. Contrary to what a lot of, you know, fundamental religion would say, we are not born into any kind of original sin. We are born innocent. We come in here as a fairly clean slate. I mean, we may have some baggage that we brought in from other lifetimes, but certainly when you come into birth and you're, you know, in the crib, you haven't activated that stuff yet. You're just
sure.
Pure.
And when you're skewed at such a young age, when you're pre-language, when you're just a child and your parents imprint these biases on you, they're there until you go fetch them out, because the subconscious
mm-hmm.
doesn't clean itself out. And so what you're talking about is core elements to our behavior. I love it. Keep going.
Yeah, well, and some of it is even deeper than that, because let me just kind of give you an example of an early childhood betrayal. Let's have this little girl, Susie, and she is in nursery school. And mama doesn't work. Daddy is a steel worker in a plant in Pittsburgh. And this is back before, right about the time that the steel industry fell apart. Okay. And all of this is fictitious. This is nobody I know. I'm making this up as I go along. All right. So Susie goes to daycare, you know, 3 days a week, mother's
yep.
morning out kind of thing.
Yep.
And this particular day, she learns how to finger paint. It's this magical stuff where you take all these different colors and you make an absolute mess, and you're allowed to do it. And when you're finished, you have a masterpiece.
Right.
And the the teachers in the daycare praise little Susie, and she looks at her masterpiece, and she is so proud of it. And she brings it home, and she shows her mom, and her mom goes, let's put this on the refrigerator, and when Daddy comes home from work tonight, we'll show it to him. He's going to be so proud of you, Susie. And so the day goes on, but what's happening, unbeknownst to the mother and little Susie, is that's the day they chose to close the steel plant. And there had been several steel plants that had closed in Pittsburgh before this. There was nothing left. This was maybe the last one. And so Daddy is laid off and has no hope of finding another job anytime soon, and he's the sole breadwinner for his family. So he and all of his mates from the plant who are now out of work, rather than going home and sitting down with his wife and creating a plan for moving on with their life, he and his buddies go to the corner bar and get hammered.
Right.
You know, and they all sit there and bemoan their drama. And by the time he gets home, he can hardly walk. He's, you know, three sheets to the wind, but he feels better, you know. He walks in the door, and little Susie comes running up to him. Daddy, 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 look what I made today in school. And it busts that bubble, that illusion that everything is all right. It jerks him back into the present moment of, oh, crap, now what am I going to do? I've got, you know, two other mouths to feed plus mine and no hope of a job, and how long is it going to be before we run out of money and we're on the street? And he screams at the little girl, maybe even backhands her, screams at his wife and says, will you get this effing child out of my way? I've had a bad day. Well,
yeah.
Little Susie at age three, because at three, a child can't discriminate between what's real and what's not real. That doesn't happen until somewhere around four or five. So she infers from what she was exposed to there, both from
the difference
visual,
of that day.
Yeah.
The difference.
And she infers from that it's not safe for me to be creative, and I better watch out. If I do something creative, men are going to hurt me or yell at me. I mean, and it goes on and on and on, the possibilities.
And they're so crippling when they're at such a young age. You make these, when you're that age, you look in your emotional toolbox and there's nothing. And so the only choice you have in that moment is a really drastic decision. Okay, so I'll never do this again. You make this black and white idea, and then it imprints in your consciousness, and it's like a filter that holds every single choice you have in the moment. And if anything matches that template, it's out before it becomes a conscious thought.
Exactly.
This is really powerful stuff.
Yeah, so that's what inspired me to write this book. I figured it's about time we as human beings had some kind of an owner's manual.
Nice.
To help us chart our way through these sometimes shark-infested waters that is life. So that's the source of it, and basically the book moves through a set of tools using metaphor. The tools in my book are everyday tools that, you know, we've either seen or we might actually have in our garage or our workroom. But they are metaphors for spiritual and emotional tools to help us grow our consciousness.
Very nice. I like that. So,
yeah.
I mean,
thank you.
Many self-help books seem to be aimed at women, and what makes your book different, that it appeals towards men?
Well, the name, for starters. Is there a guy out there that doesn't like power tools?
Right. Do they have a Hemi?
And, you know, and I was really going for that because, you know, the feminine aspect is the more receptive aspect, and the masculine aspect is the one that reaches out and creates in the world. You know, but we, each of us as a human, we have both of those aspects, the yin and the yang, as part of our makeup. you know, sometimes we're more skewed towards one than the other, but I think our goal is to be in balance. And what has happened over the last, say, 2,500 years to 3,500 years is that the feminine has been more open to that receiving communication, that intuition. And the masculine's been more busy, you know, creating and moving and being the mover and the shaker and the protector, the breadwinner, that kind of thing. And again, this is stereotypical. You know, it's not that way for everybody, but more often than not, that's what we see in mass consciousness. So therefore, I wanted to write a book that would appeal to both sexes. Women, because they're going to be receptive anyway, and men, because they're starting to open up to that, but they like their tools.
Right. Well, I like that. You know, if you look at the past, at least from my perspective, it's like we've had a yang overdose. Everything mm-hmm. has been skewed towards yang. Like when the women's movement came along, they donned yang masculine attributes and competed with men to become, quote, equal. But in truth, the power of the feminine is in the unknown, in the undefined. And like you said, when those two come into balance, that's the only place that power can be applied and have it be graceful.
Exactly.
For that feminine to be woken up or blossomed again. So the value of the woman is derived by her feminine attributes, not how well she can copy masculine attributes. It's by her own feminine qualities and traits, which our
yeah.
media hasn't showcased. They've showcased
right.
women as a physical object, and how it's how you look, and that has mm-hmm. nothing to do with it. It doesn't matter how you look at all, it's your femininity and how authentic you can be to that.
Exactly. And I think that we're coming into this time where authenticity is being demanded of us. You know, and I can really kind of only speak for myself, but I think that there are a lot of people that are probably listening to your show that will be able to relate to this. For me, growing up, you know, I'm a child of the 50s and 60s, and there were a lot of expectations laid around me. My mama wanted me to be a school teacher. The last thing in the world I wanted to be was a school teacher. But I did acquiesce to her, and I got a minor in education just to kind of get her off my back.
Right.
No intention of ever teaching school at all. You know, but, you know, it's like, you know, you need to go to college because you need to go to college, but then you're going to get married and have kids and your husband will take care of everything and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right. The white picket fence.
I bought into that to a certain extent. You know, it didn't work out that way. I mean, I did go to college, but I ended up starting my career, well before I got married. And so it was a good thing I had the education in the background so that I could go out there and, you know, earn a living. And then from that point in time on my path, I spent 30 years in corporate high-tech sales. I was a woman competing in a man's world. And so I allowed myself to get very out of balance towards the young. I learned how to be the most successful at every company I ever worked. I mean, I was always the top sales rep. And I learned how to dress like the guys. I had my navy blue suit, white shirt, and a little tie, you know. So I fit right in. And this went on. And through all of this time, you know, from graduating college until retirement, I ended up having a series of relationships that didn't always end happily. And never quite did I figure out what's wrong here. I finally, towards the end of that time frame, I read a book, a marvelous book. I think the guy's name is David Data, and the book was called It's a Guy Thing. And one of my girlfriends said, "Jean, you really need to read this book," you know. And what he was talking about, he was talking about relationships from a man's perspective, but he was talking about how you have to have both the yin and the yang in a relationship. That if you've got a masculine guy and a woman who wants to wear the pants in the family, it'll never work. It might work for a while, but pretty soon it's like a magnet, two magnets that have the north poles touching each other. They repel.
Yeah.
And things fall apart.
It'd be flat. There wouldn't be expansion because there wouldn't be
right.
a flow of ideas into creation. Until there's flow, there's no expansion.
And that was my first clue that I needed to find balance in my life. I needed to get some, everything in my wardrobe at that point in time was either black or white. And
right, that made it easy.
Yeah, so I needed to go out and find some color and some femininity and, you know, start allowing the men in my life to make decisions and trusting that they had the ability to do it, you know, because up to that point I'd figured, you know, if I don't take care of myself, nobody else is going to, and mm-hmm. I know how to do it, you know, so, you know, you don't need to open the car door for me. You don't need to help me. And so I had to back off and find my femininity again, and, you know, things in my life have gotten much better since that point. And we've really digressed off of where we were talking. I don't know how we got to that one, but, you know, it is about balance.
But when you found your femininity again, what did that look like? I mean, how did you capture arenas where you had lost it?
Well, the first thing that it did was it opened my intuition and
nice.
Even wider. Yeah. And so when I got to that point, it was pretty much when I started writing. I began to open to my creativity. And so writing was the first thing. And I've written 4 books now, working on the 5th one. But that began to happen when I started refining my feminine, receptive, open, listening piece. More recently, I've received decks of healing cards, one of which I had to draw 142 glyphs. The deck of cards is called Reconnecting Soul, and it's about activating our attributes of consciousness that have gone latent. And my guides told me that originally the human species had 144 strands of DNA, not just 2, and that we didn't lose them. They weren't taken away from us. We just shut them down. But we could
right.
reopen them and reactivate them. And they said, your job, Jean, if you choose to accept it, is to draw these 142 glyphs that will hold the energy of a latent strand of Christ consciousness so that people can look at this, activate the energy or the frequency of this attribute of consciousness and internalize it and become it. And so immediately I went, I can't draw.
Right.
And,
your rational mind.
Yeah, you know,
tries
and
to
my
analyze.
Guide said, yeah, they said, au contraire, we happen to know that you have a drawing pad that you've never opened and not one but 2 packs of colored pencils. So if you will listen and relax
right.
and surrender, we'll show you how to do this. And,
well,
you know, about a year later, I produced this deck of cards. And I, you know, literally did not know that I could draw. I've now started painting in oils, and
nice.
You know, it's expanding and growing because I threw out some of those black and white clothes, quit having to be the driver, and refound my feminine self.
Well, I really like this because awakening the feminine is the process. That's it. That's
mm-hmm.
what will bring balance to humanity. So let's take one more look at that, how it was in your life. So when you started awakening your intuition and changing your, you know, putting away the black and white clothes and getting more color and you changed yourself, what were the reactions of people around you when you made that change and started honoring your intuition?
Well, let's just say it cost me a marriage.
Right. Wow.
You know, so the first blatant thing that happened was my now ex-husband said, "You're not who you used to be, and I don't really like who you are now, and I want a divorce." And
right.
So that was pretty radical.
But you stayed true to yourself, though. You didn't back out of
absolutely.
It to appease them. You stayed true to yourself. So that's something you had to do. And wow, I give you a big hug. I know how tough that can be.
I haven't seen him since then, but I actually honor and applaud him because I would not have had the courage to leave. I was in a relationship where I was not allowed to be myself. I was half happy. I mean, because I always see my glasses half full. It's never half empty. But I was half happy, and I would have stayed there because it was familiar and because I had a commitment, you know, to that marriage. So God bless him that he took care of that for me. And I was crushed for about 20 minutes. And then I realized, wow, I've been given a huge gift of freedom. And so now it's going to be up to me. What do I choose to do with this? Because I ain't got anybody to blame now.
Right. Yeah, right. But, you know, in a way, that rawness feels really good. It's like I stood up, you know. I felt incongruent with myself, and I did something about it. And when that happens, you always feel good. I mean,
absolutely.
You turn around and look backwards at the wake, and it looks like a train wreck. But nonetheless, it's always to your advantage, to your benefit, if you stay authentic to your own inner calling or intuition. So
yeah.
I understand you have different ideas about channeling and intuition. About where intuition comes from. Can you share that with us?
Well, sure. You know, and a part of this opening to my intuition was that I had no earthly idea that I was a channel. And it never even occurred to me. And when all this stuff started to happen, as I began to listen and surrender into it, I actually received through channel a healing modality called Inner Speak, and that's what I've been doing ever since, you know, that this happened, and teaching it globally. There are hundreds of Inner Speak facilitators all around the world, that do my work. I left my corporate job and, you know, took a leap of faith and started doing this. I support myself very nicely now. I have to say my lifestyle has not changed since I left the corporate world. I trust, I moved into this place of trust and connection of knowing that the universe provides for me, that the universe is the source for me. It's not clients. It's not a job. It's not, you know, whatever you might think it might be. No, it's the universe that provides everything. As long as we stay in alignment and in the flow with it, all of our needs will be met and met richly. Masters throughout the ages have told us this. You know, the Master Jesus said, "I came that you should have life and you should have it abundantly." He didn't say we had to be poor and suffer and struggle.
Yes, that's guilt and shame.
Exactly.
That's that crock we were handed when we were young. But
you asked me what are my ideas about channeling. Well, I believe that we all our channels if we choose to accept that. Again, it's like Mission Impossible, you know. This is your job if you choose to accept it. You better throw those sunglasses over the cliff because they're going to blow up in 30 seconds, you know.
Right.
So we can all tune into that connection, and it's like dialing your radio dial to 98.5 FM and listening to beautiful music if you're willing to get quiet and listen. And, again, I can only talk from my experience, but how it happened for me was really in alignment with my belief system. And, you know, my belief system was I believed in angels. That was not a stretch for me. I mean, I'd been raised to know that there were such things as angels. So
Right. The
first thing that I began to be aware of when I began to open to my intuition were angels. I saw angels. I talked to angels. This inner speak work came to me from angels. And I was comfortable with that. And I could trust that. And it wasn't so far outside my belief systems that it wasn't acceptable.
Right.
And then somewhere along the way, as I began to trust and I began to move with and work with and study and grow and all those things, my consciousness raised. And it expanded, and a new level of energy.
Power.
I was able to tap into. Yeah. And that one I called Ascended Masters. So now I'm talking to all these wonderful Ascended Masters like Jesus and Buddha and the Mahatma and Jwal Kul and Master Katumi, you know, and Mother Mary and all of those. They're not angels. It's a different strata, if you will.
Sure.
And lo and behold, then some years later, I'd been continuing on this path and studying and receiving and trusting and all of that, and what shows up in my living room but a 16-foot-tall blue extraterrestrial.
My.
And I'm like, really? But somewhere along the way, I was in meditation. I was communing with some being, I don't know. Pretty sure it was Archangel Michael, actually. And he kind of got in my face and he said, Jean, you know, why is it that you ascribe these anthropomorphic ideas to who you think you're talking to? You say, ooh, I feel this energy or I see this color, so that is this one. And this information is coming from that one. He said, do you not understand that we are all aspects of you? And all that there is for you to channel is you. It's different layers of your consciousness, and it's unlimited, but you are the creator of your reality, and you know you can go as high as you want to go, and you can call
right.
it whatever you want to call it. You can call it angels, you can call it ascended masters, you can call it the Blue Man Group. It doesn't matter. But
right.
you need to know that it is within each of us. And again, this
Absolutely.
Is something that the Master Jesus said. He said, you know, the kingdom of God is within your heart.
The Father and I are one.
Yeah, exactly.
So you talk about the physical part of enlightenment. What are the spiritual functions of the pineal and pituitary glands, and how do they impact the ascension process?
Well, our bodies are miraculous creations. I mean, they are amazing creations, and we look at our bodies and we think, oh, well, it's just a collections of bones and muscles and arms and legs and organs and, you know, and it houses our soul and we move through life and whatever. And then we get old and we get sick and we die. Our bodies are marvelous transmitter-receiver devices that enable us to connect with each other and to connect with the universe, the divine mind, all the knowledge that ever was. And we do that through our organs and our gland systems. And it's really kind of interesting because if you will agree with me that such a thing as a hologram exists.
Sure, you bet.
Do you?
I use that example often.
Okay, yeah, so we live in a holographic universe. So each piece of a hologram contains the entirety of the whole. So therefore, if I, Gene, have a soul, then every piece of me must have a soul. Every cell in my body must have a soul because that's how the hologram works. Every organ and gland in my body must have a soul and a soul purpose. Does that make sense? Can you buy that one?
Sure. Yep.
Okay. Well, the soul purpose of the pineal gland and the pituitary gland is to connect us to our higher aspects. It's like the satellite. The two of them together are like the satellite dish, transmitter, receiver, that communicates with us ourselves at a higher level, or the divine mind, or God, or the universe, or whatever you want to call it. And they work together to do that. They're not the only organs and glands that serve that same purpose. You know, if you look at the chakra system that the Hindus have ascribed for many years to, so the crown chakra is on the top of the head. It's that open area. You know, in a newborn, it's wide open. There's no bone there. So the newborn's connection to the spiritual realm is not blocked by anything. And it's as that thing begins to close, then it makes it harder and harder for the child to remember that connection. But the connection never goes away. It's always there, and it's achieved through the pineal and the pituitary gland. And so the ancients have known about this, and they talked about the third eye in ancient Egypt. It was the eye of Ra. Many cultures have, the Hindus, for example, they put the bindi right on the third eye, the little dot, right?
Right.
Marking that space that connects into the pineal gland that activates that connection to spirit, to the spiritual realm. So in my reality, that information from spirit comes in through the top of the head, goes into the pineal gland. The pineal gland connects it to the pituitary gland. There's several other ductless glands that are right underneath the brain. They're right in the very middle of the head, underneath the cerebellum. One of them is the hypothalamus. The next one is the amygdala. And so the transmissions are just going from point A to point B to point C to point D. They connect then into the vagus nerve at the second cervical vertebrae. And the vagus nerve then transmits those electronic impulses down into the body. Vagus nerve touches all of the glands and organs in the trunk of the body, connects them all to spirit. And each one of them has a function, a spiritual function, a soul purpose, that if we leave it alone, is what it'll do. When we wound these organs and glands and store wounds there and block them up, then they can't do their function. But
right.
If, you know, left untouched, they will function in harmony with our life purpose, our soul purpose, keeping our vessels connected to spirit.
That's why there's a...
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. That's why there's a physical aspect to the path to enlightenment. It's like the consciousness of karma, or when we laden ourselves up with that unresolved consciousness, taxes the body. And we're living in a time where all of us are being taxed a lot in our body because we've had so much shame and guilt and so many lifetimes of ladening ourselves with these unresolved, really very big traumatic events. And it impacts our physical bodies. So I really,
it does. And, you know, other cultures have known this since ancient history. You know, the Hindus have known that we stored these wounds in our chakra systems. And the chakras each relate to an organ and gland, right?
Sure.
The Chinese have known that we store these wounds in our acupuncture meridians, and each of them relates to an organ and gland. So when there's a blockage either in a chakra or in an acupuncture meridian or both, then the health of the individual organs and glands is compromised. But if you
sure.
treat the acupuncture meridian point or the chakra, depending on how you do the work and which culture you're talking about, you can heal those organs and glands and restore them to perfect working order.
Nice.
But
you've got to
go find that emotional wound.
Oh, absolutely. No question. It's like the subconscious doesn't clean itself out. You have to have that intention. When you, in your introduction, it talks about you being a healer. When your intuition came online and you
mm-hmm.
started to honor that and respect it with your consciousness and focus on making yourself more and more authentic, did your healing modalities change?
Well, that's when I began to receive this InnerSpeak process, and I've been doing that ever since. And it's gotten more and more and more powerful over the years. It's the framework of it still looks exactly the same as it did when I channeled it in 2002. But how it works and my understanding of how it works is so greater. It's expanded so much more since then. And the truth is that we're getting to that place now where I believe that you can heal or change anything with just two things, your attention and your intention. You can put your attention on what needs to be healed, and you can intend that the wound go away, and it will. You know, now there's still, I'm not talking myself out of a job. I'm still going to have people coming to me for sessions every day because everybody in consciousness hasn't reached that place where they trust that.
Sure. Yeah, I like that.
But when they do get to that place, then they can call me up and I can say, okay, here's where you need to put your attention and here's what you need to intend. And it's the same thing as saying, unless take two aspirins and call me in the morning.
Right.
Because it'll be gone.
So how can people get past their mind and tap into higher aspects in order to grow and create in their life?
Well, the first thing they have to do is they have to have that desire. They've got to wake up to the place that there's something greater for them as an individual that they want to reach for. You know, it's just like exercise. You know, if you want to build your body, then you have to exercise your muscles. If you want to build your consciousness, then you have to exercise your receptivity and your receptivity really is that, and your intuition. So it takes work, but you have to commit to it and be willing to do it.
That reception's an integral part. I like to think that when we have an intention for life to be a particular way, and some people might even call that a prayer, the answer to the prayer has a vibration to it. A signature,
right.
And it's that reception of it, to be able to, without diluting or polluting it, bringing in the answer and keeping it authentically pure energetically, and then bring that to the masculine side and convey that energy into effect is the mechanism of a miracle.
Absolutely.
So it's
and you know,
curious.
As it says in A Course in Miracles, there's no order of magnitude in miracles. It's as easy
right.
for you to flick a piece of dust off of a book as it is for you to manifest for yourself the money that you require to do whatever it is you want to do.
Right. All requests have a merit.
They're
of
all
one.
Miracles.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
So if you were to look back over your life and see how it's evolved, what would you say are some of the biggest influences on what's awakened your consciousness?
Wow. You know, the first, I think that the first thing that I did that actually started to open me up was I took a training with Sandra Ray in the mid-1980s called Loving Relationships. That was my first exposure to metaphysics. That's where I first heard about A Course in Miracles. And I would have to say that A Course in Miracles has been my primary textbook over these last, you know, 30 years or so,
right.
And it has really helped me the most. And I keep going back to it. You know, sometimes I'll lay it down for a while and then I'll pick it back up again and dive in and realize I'd never really left. It's always still been there. You know, so those have been extremely important. You know, there have been so many teachers that I've met along the way that have helped me. And it's, you know, we're all in this together, Les. I look at it like it's a bunch of us climbing up a mountain. And one day I might be a little bit farther up the mountain and I might toss you down a rope and help pull you up to a ledge so that you're able to get a leg up, and before you know it, you're maybe 10 feet above me and you reach down and grab my hand and pull me up, and we continue to do this for each other over and over and over again as we're climbing up. So, you know, the number of people who have held their hand out to me and lifted me up to another level is too many to thank in a one-hour radio show.
Sure.
And by the same token, there are that many people that I know whose lives I've touched that I'm not even aware of. You know?
Sure.
I mean, so often we impact other people's lives without having a clue that we helped them. And maybe we just did it with a smile.
When you chose to be authentic to yourself, that was an example right there for everybody in your life.
Exactly. You know, and I call that modeling right energy. And that is the way I believe that we help each other the most, is by standing in our truth and modeling that right energy into the world so that other people see your authenticity and at some level, conscious and unconscious, they get the information that you have to offer, and you offer freely at that subconscious level because it's in your field, and then they benefit from it. And it goes on and on from there. It just expands out geometrically.
Yeah, I think the next chapter of humanity, I mean, so often in our religious studies or something, there's a single persona up on the mountain swinging a wand. No single persona of any kind is going to transform human consciousness. It's going to be by droves and droves of people honoring their own truth. No leader can write a book that touches the heart of everyone. No teacher can teach to every student. It's not set up to be a singular event. It's set up to be a collective event of us all being more and more authentic to who we are, that pure, authentic you that was written there from the beginning, and rediscovering that purity of yourself, and then, like you say, wear it, be it, live it, and that is it. There's no requirements of the universe. Like I was saying earlier in the show, there's no template. You are the creator. Choose. It's your call.
Right.
But do choose and be conscious about it.
Yeah, you know, I think the Master Jesus summed it up in the letter to the church at Laodicea in the book of Revelation in the Bible. He said, I wish that you were either hot or cold. You know, choose. But because you're neither hot nor cold, I spit you out of my mouth.
That's pretty direct. I like the...
It is. It's very direct, yeah.
The words of the burning bush, I am that I am, zero embellishment.
Yeah.
It's like,
mm-hmm.
choose as you will. There are no requirements. Well,
exactly.
Time can fly by pretty fast, so I want to make sure we get you covered. How can our listeners get in contact with your books? And you?
Absolutely. Well, they can go to my website, Les. It's jeanadrianne.com, JeanAdrianne.com. And I have a gift for your listeners. If they go to my website, on the upper right-hand corner of the homepage of my website, if they sign up for my newsletter, I will give them an unlimited, unexpiring subscription to the online version of my Inner Speak cards, so that they can do clearings and healings for themselves in the privacy of their homes, on their computers, and they can do it daily. I recommend you don't do it more than once a day. You need to process. Even though it seems like a game and it's very easy to do and it's self-explanatory and you can't screw it up, you still, it's powerful work and you need to process it. But it's yours, and then if you don't like the newsletter, you can unsubscribe and you can still use those cards. You have the link and they'll be there as long as I'm around to pay the bills for the website. They'll be there.
Right.
You know,
well,
so
I
that's
like
my
that.
Gift. And on all of the information about my radio shows, my classes, my books, it's all there. All my books are available on Amazon.com. My cards, the Reconnecting Soul cards and the Inner Speak cards are available on Amazon.com as well as my website. So, you know, and you can contact me there. I do private sessions. All the information about my private sessions is there. I teach people how to do the Inner Speak work, and I teach it via the web, so you don't have to travel. You can learn, you know, again, the comfort of your home and on your computer.
What are the benefits of your private session? Where would they apply in people's lives?
It, you know, you can clear with one Inner Speak session, and my goal is to work with a person one time and have them clear away enough stuff that they're able to motor through their life happy, healthy, and successful. A little, an hour, give or take. I don't charge by the hour. I charge by the session. So, and then my goal is for you to have such a great experience you tell two of your friends. And basically that's how my work is spread. It's all been word of mouth. But it applies to any area of your life. You can accomplish physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, relationships, clearing the blocks on relationships, clearing the blocks on your money. You know, there's really no area that you can't clear with, you know, with the Inner Speak process. The world is your oyster, and you can do as much as you want.
Nice. Well, I want to thank you for being on our show tonight. It's been a real pleasure having you.
It's my pleasure. Anytime.
You know, we're all infinite beings that are incarnate into this human form, and every one of us has a connection to the divine. Every one of us has the ability to have the inspiration that is the perfect thing for us. What I really like about spirit or love or consciousness or God, however you want to call it, that life force energy that is behind all of life, is that it's not biased in how it happens. There's no template for how your life is supposed to go. You have carte blanche. It's like the light in the projector doesn't care what the film is. The creator incarnate inside of you doesn't care what you choose to be authentically. It will fulfill it equally. And the powerful thing is when you start to honor that. That's what Jean had shared in her life, and you could tell the difference it made when she started being authentic to herself. So look at your own life and know that any problem that's happened in your past, no matter what the storyline is, you are forgiven. You are innocent. And trust that. You're innocent. So now flip it over to the other side of your life. You as a creator, you as an inspiration, you as a human being that's going to be a game changer, you can have an idea that nobody else on the planet even gets, even understands. And that idea can be perfect right for you. And innocence says, go for it. You're entitled to that. That is the very nature of consciousness. So trust your own story above all else. Trust that authentic, pure impulse that's inside of you, because that is the thing itself. You are it incarnate. And know that you have permission to fulfill your inspiration regardless of what that is. You don't need any other human being to acknowledge what your gift is. So relax in who you are. Relax in your story. Relax in your past. There's no mistakes. You can't karmically screw up. The karmic laws are perfect in every moment. Just look at the stuff going on in our culture, and consciousness says, but of course you can have the worst flipping ideas of human atrocities and play them out in large. Those choices were there from the beginning, and the choices that are coming into your heart and inspiration now are there for their own reasons. So show up for yourself. When you get excited about an idea that you've had in your heart, bring it into being. Bring it forth. Give it energy. Give it action. Give it dialogue. Give it your consciousness and let it show you what it wants to be. We're all very powerful beings, and at New Human Living, we teach you how to amplify and elevate your personal power so all your inspiration manifests as it should. We're all here to reclaim our power. And your power comes from you being authentic, pure, authentic you. So go to New Human Living and sign up for the newsletter and look at the material there, because you deserve to be powerful. You're here to be powerful, and New Human Living is here to help you be just that. Our Personal Power Fundamentals book is a great insight, giving you simple tools to awaken the power in you so you can live the life that you love. It's been a great show tonight, because I always talk about the power that's within us. And we're going to have more powerful shows for you. It's been a good show. Until next time.
This has been a New Human Living radio broadcast. You can raise your own personal power with Personal Power Fundamentals Home Study Course at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.